Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Wednesday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, since it is Wednesday, the new blog did go up this morning, so you can swing on over there and check that out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, all right, Dan, well, apparently it was reported, and it was by one of the Johns. I don't know if it was John Morosi or John Heyman, but one of the guys who were, you know, kind of like the baseball insiders there with Ken Rosenthal that the MLB Network uses, that the Pirates and the Astros had agreed on a trade to send Garrett Cole to the Astros. But now Jeff Lunau, who is the Astros' general manager, use the term that there is nothing imminent in any trade talks between the teams. So I guess depending on who you believe, Garrett Cole is either going to be a member of the Pirates or they've got something worked out and he's going to Houston. So whose side are you on here?
Well, it is the GM, so I'm going to go with him, you know?
Ah, so, you know, now do you think that eventually we're going to see this deal get done now that there's all kinds of, you know, what's your parents used to tell you when you're young, Dan, where there's smoke, there's fire?
Yeah, but I mean, how good was Garrett Cole looking in a Yankees uniform?
Well, remember, though, that was the holdup there, is the Yankees said they wouldn't, Gleyber Torres wouldn't be included in the deal. So, you know, that was part of the problem there. Now, of course, nothing has came out on, you know, who the Astros were willing to give up. You know, you and I threw some of the names out there yesterday that were, you know, that sources had indicated, or our sources, I should say, had indicated might be part of the deal. So we'll have to see, but it'll be interesting to see. Do you think now maybe, you know, I don't know, some other teams jump in here, like you mentioned the Yankees, but maybe, you know, the Red Sox or, you know, any of the other teams with quality farm systems jump in and, you know, try to kind of cut off an Astro, a Cole to the Astros trade?
Yeah, you have the Cubs aren't in the mix aside from being in a division.
Yeah, sadly, you know, we kind of realize the Cubs don't have the farm system needed to pull off a trade like this. So, and, you know, unless they were, you know, again, and, you know, we've been over this a million times, unless they're willing to give up Javier Baez, it probably ain't going to happen. So, you know, that's, you know, and Cole is, you know, I think I wrote about it today, he's under club control for a couple more years. He doesn't hit the free agent market till after 2020. So, you know, you will have him for definitely guaranteed for a few more years. Of course, you can always re-sign him or however that kind of works out for your team, as we know. But, I just kind of thought it was interesting that it was, I mean, literally it was reported that it was a trade. It was almost a done deal. And then it was kind of like, oh, wait, hang on. No, it's not. What are you guys talking about? Stop reporting this. So I'll be interested to see if they can work this out, or so. Now, do you think with, like, an addition of Cole, does that make, you know, if they do add him, does that make Houston the clear-cut favorite next year for you?
I think it definitely puts them in a position to repeat, which we don't ever see happen anymore.
So, you know, you get a full year out of, you know, out of Justin Verlander, and, you know, if your guy Keuchel stays healthy, maybe Mr. Fantasy's guy Lance McCullers will actually pitch like they think he's going to for a change. So,
I mean, isn't that why he would need Garrett Cole in case an injury does happen?
Yeah, I actually heard somebody saying that the best part of the deal is they believe that the Astros pitchers will be fatigued from pitching late into the postseason like this, and that having a new guy in the rotation, you know, will be a guy to lean on and they can give some innings to. But, you know, that's not really Garrett Cole's style. I mean, he did make 33 starts last year, you know, the first time, I think, or no, I think it was the second time in his career he's done that. But there, you know, there have been some injury issues, so I don't know if he's, you know, I mean, maybe he will. They always said he would be a number one guy. You know, maybe he's turning into that, then, you know, we'll have to see.
Yeah, but, I mean, that doesn't really make sense because the rotation is five guys. So he's still going to make his fifth start. You know, his, every fifth start, regardless of if the other guys are injured or not, or just tired.
No, I understand that. I'm just kind of telling you what they were. They were, you know, belly. They were talking about this morning why they thought it was such a good deal. So, you know, that was kind of their reasoning behind it. I wondered the same thing, how he alleviated the pressure the other 4 days, you know, when he didn't start. But they, that kind of ruins the story, so they didn't go into that. You know, just one of you know, we never want to kill a good story, you know that one. But yeah, so that's the latest on that. But Dan, I the other story I heard kind of come out today, and I can't really say I'm surprised by this. Starlin Castro has reportedly told the Miami Marlins that he wants to be traded. As you know, he was the only thing they got back from Giancarlo Stanton for when they sent him to the Yankees. You know, and since he's been around, I believe, not only did Stanton go, but D. Gordon's been shipped off. Marcelo Ozuna's been shipped off. And there's talk of Christian Yelich and JT Realmuto being traded. Castro has 4 years left on his deal, and I guess he just doesn't want to lose 400-plus games in those next years. I guess, A, are you surprised by this? And, B, do you have a landing spot for him?
No, definitely not surprised. I mean, I think that was the first thing we brought up when he was traded. And it looks like he doesn't want to go through another rebuild and be the star of a team and then get blamed for everything, right?
Yeah, well, can you blame him? So, all right, well, what about, you got a landing spot? Where's his best spot? They're looking to make a move. Who's going to give them, you know, the prospect they want for Starlin Castro?
I mean, who needs a second baseman?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it depends, you know, who you like. You know, I believe Neil Walker's still a free agent. Could the Brewers use a guy like Starlin Castro?
I don't know. Could they? What I'm asking you, who's really in need of a second baseman? What about the Angels or the Blue Jays?
Yeah, well, you know, I think the Angels have kind of tied up their middle infield with multiple guys. I believe they made a trade for Ian Kinsler. What about your Dodgers? Could he plug in there, you know, with Logan Forsythe? And, you know, Forsythe has been a utility guy before. If you bumped into that and Castro played every day, you know, he could be a big fit in that Dodger lineup, couldn't he?
Could be a great fit. I mean, what could the Marlins expect in return?
Well, you know, the Dodgers have, you know, they have a plum farm system, so they could, you know, I mean, I don't think it would take more than one, you know, maybe top 50 prospect. Would you, I mean, would you think it would be more than that?
No, I don't think you can give away just one. I mean, you know, you brought up Logan Forsythe, who's 30, a couple of years older than Castro, but the other guy behind him, I really don't know. Here we go. I think he would definitely be a bigger upgrade from Forsythe, who, you know, 224 with six home runs, 36 RBIs and 3 stolen bases. When you look at Castro's stat line, you know, 16 home runs and 63 RBIs with a 300 batting average. I mean, I think he could go for another batting title if he was in L.A.
You know, and then even staying in that division, remember part of the package when the Giants were the team that was chasing Stanton, the Marlins were interested in Joe Panik. You know, if you were to swap, you know, Panik for Castro, you know, and the Giants throw in a prospect, you know, I mean, he could just as well fit in a Giants uniform.
Another great landing spot, but do you think that they would really go for a straight up trade like that, you know, plus the prospect?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously, I mean, I guess it would depend on who the prospect was, but I believe, you know, while Castro is on a really team friendly deal, I believe Panik makes quite a bit less. So it would be what the Marlins were looking for. You know, I mean, that's their whole goal, is to cut salary here. So, you know, it would give them that opportunity. You know, I mentioned the Brewers before. Right now they have Jonathan Villar penciled in as their starting second baseman. So he could be, you know, he could definitely, you know, Castro would definitely be an upgrade there as a fit. So, you know, it's just, and, you know, you even wonder if, you know, I don't know if they could juggle this properly, because I know Castro, while he has played short, he hasn't played anything but second and short. But, you know, imagine plugging him in on the Red Sox roster with, you know, the injury situation Pedroia has had. And I actually believe he's recovering from an injury right now. You know, if you could plug Castro in and he plays while Pedroia's hurt, you know, and then you would have to figure out how to swap them guys between, you know, second, third, and BH. But, you know, I'm sure you could work that out, couldn't you?
I think so. I mean, but what if, you know, again, this would have to, maybe they can get a 3 or 4 teams involved where the Orioles send Machado somewhere, and in the mix, you know, get the Marlins involved to where they land Castro.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's always a, you know, a possibility. We could get the, you know, the multiple team deal like that, to where, you know, somebody's like, hey, well, you know, let's do this and this, and then you guys go here and there. I mean, we did just have the 3-team trade between, what was it, the Dodgers, the Royals, and the White Sox. So, you know, it's not like unheard of. You know, it's just kind of, you know, trying to figure out who the heck you know, where's the best fit, or I guess who would be willing to, you know, give up the best deal. Of course, you know, in a lot of cases, you know, they do say that the Marlins didn't get the best deal from the Yankees. You know, there were other teams offering better deals. So, you know, I maybe they're not even looking for the best deal, and they're just looking to cut salary.
Well, and like you said, Panik does have one of the best ones, because he is arbitration year 1, 2, and 3, and then 2021 he's an unrestricted agent, free agent.
So yeah, you know, I mean, I just remember that because when they were, you know, when they were going for, you know, when they were trying to make the trade for Stanton, he was the guy who was kind of headlining, you know, the whole thing. It was Joe Panik and a, you know, a kind of a slew of prospects. You know, I don't know you know, what they have left. I know they gave up Christian Arroyo to get Evan Longoria, but I'm sure, you know, you wouldn't need your number one prospect in a deal like this if Panic was going back. So I, you know, it just, they kind of, you know, kind of seem like an interesting fit. And, you know, I mean, I know, you know, Panic is a solid player and he's been really good for the, you know, for the Giants, but I definitely think Castro is an upgrade there at that position.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, then over the next 3 years, you're only looking at about $37 million.
Yeah, I knew he wasn't, you know, I knew he had a real team-friendly contract, and I'm wondering if that's why the, you know, the Marlins will be a little hesitant to move him, because that is, you know, such a good contract for a team. But I don't know, I hope they get him out of there, because it sucked that, you know, he was the guy that ended up going back. You know, we'll have to see. But yeah, I can't say I was surprised there when I heard that news today that he was, you know, telling the Marlins he would like to be dealt. It, you know, that just makes kind of good sense there. You know, he suffered through it here, and then, like you said, he was the scapegoat for everything. And then got himself going with the Yankees, and now he ends up being part of this trade. So it's like, oh boy. So we'll see where that goes. But we did have, I saw Chris Davis, not the Orioles Chris Davis, but the A's Chris Davis, agreed to a contract with the A's to avoid arbitration. He's going to get $10.5 million. You know, it's interesting, Dan, because this guy is kind of humorously sneaky under the radar. Do you know that in the last two seasons, he has the second most home runs? He has 85. He had 42 and 16 and 43 last year. The only guy ahead of him is Giancarlo Stanton by one home run. So, yeah, he kind of, you know, I guess, now do you think, is that the effect of kind of playing in Oakland full-time, that we just don't know much about this guy?
Pretty much. I mean, I didn't know his numbers were up there.
Yeah, you know, I know he, you know, he doesn't have the, you know, he's only about a 240 or a 250 hitter, but, you know, he's got big power numbers, and I believe he drove in, I think it was 110 runs last season. Yeah, 43 and 110, and he hit 247, you know, for the A's. You know, he plays a lot. He played in 153 games. That's 2 years in a row he's played, you know, 150 or more. So now are you surprised with, you know, the A's and I guess what you call perpetual rebuild, that this guy is still here?
Do you think he'll be gone?
Well, you know, he is still, you know, salary. They, you know, they still have control of him for a couple more seasons. So you wonder if that's what keeps him around. So, but I don't, you know, it's just weird because you never really expect the A's to keep a guy. It just seems like they're always rebuilding. So, yeah, I just wonder if he's, you know, is he the next guy to go? Is he the guy we'll be talking about when teams are looking for, you know, a guy this trade deadline? You're looking for that power hitter. It's going to be, hey, let's go get Chris Davis.
You know, I guess the question would be, what would they be looking for in return?
You know, since they're always rebuilding, I'm sure they would just want your prospects, wouldn't they? I mean, that's all a rebuilding team ever wants. So, you know, that is a, you know, the big thing. And then we did have another signing. The Brewers did finally, I think they talked about this for about 2 weeks, but they announced that they finalized the deal with Boone Logan. He's going to get $2.5 million for 1 year. And oddly, you and I talked about it yesterday, but Rene Rivera ended up getting signed by the Angels after you and I talked about the catching issues yesterday. He got, I believe it was $2.8 million for 1 year. So we had a couple of the, I guess you could describe them as lower-tier free agents. Not that they're not solid players or they have their place in the game. I mean, you know, Logan is a lefty specialist, and, you know, Rivera is a solid veteran backup catcher. So, you know, they, you know, they're off the market now, but no big names. We're getting the little names to kind of, you know, slip and slide and disappear, but no big names, and we don't seem, again, you know, anywhere close to a big name pitcher going anywhere. Now, do you think the possible trade of Gerrit Cole is holding up some of this, because a team would rather dish off a couple prospects than lock Jake Arrieta up for 7 years and $800 million?
Pretty much. I mean, don't you think it's a lot cheaper in the long run?
Yeah, well, you know, if you think about it, you get a guy like Cole, you control him for a couple years, you know, and then, you know, then if you have to re-sign him, you know, you pay him the big bucks then, you know, where in this case, you know, you've got kind of a 2 year tryout more or less, you know, and if you decide he's not your guy, you can let him go into free agency and not pay him. Where, you know, if you bring in an Arrieta, a Darvish, or an Alex Cobb, you know, you're looking at, you know, if Arrieta legitimately wants $200 million, it's going to have to be a seven-year-plus deal, because nobody's going to pay him $30 million a year. I think they would be stupid. You know, Cobb has already said he wants $20 million. So, you know, instead of laying out that kind of money, you can get a two-year Gerrit Cole tryout and decide, well, let's try to keep this guy around. Let's sign this guy. And, you know, he'll be kind of like your guy then, instead of going out and taking a shot on one of these long-term guys, right? I mean, it seems to make a little more sense.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why Scott Boras is looking for, you know, pay Jake Arrieta this much, and then it's a good deal because for the next 20 years, they'll pay him $1 million every year.
Yeah, I don't understand the thinking there, but we'll see. I mean, you know, we're, you know, a little less than 5 weeks out from pitchers and catchers reporting. So, I mean, now do you think a guy like, you know, Arrieta, Cobb, or Darvish would actually sit out the start of spring training if they don't get these deals they're looking for?
Of all three, I think Arrieta would.
So, you know, and then now, you know, we've seen guys do this before, and it doesn't really help them in this type of situation. You know, guys have missed spring training and then signed, and I know the 1 year it was Kendry Morales and Steven Drew sat out half a season, and they both sucked when they got signed and came back. Morales actually was able to rebound a little bit, but Drew's career never got back on track. You know, he's just been a bench utility kind of guy since then. I don't know. Do you think it's a good move? I mean, you know, if you can get a couple-year deal, say somebody comes to Arrieta, says they'll give him 2 years at $40 million, and it's the only offer he has, should he take it? Or should he sit out and be, well, no, I'm waiting for this long-term deal?
I mean, I think he should take it, but I really think he's looking for the long-term deal. And to me, looking for that stretch, it kind of means you don't have the confidence in yourself.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's basically what it would be. I mean, if he could go out and put up two good back-to-back years, now he wouldn't get a seven-year deal because he would be older. But, I mean, you know, if you got 4 years at, you know, I don't know, $100 million, you get $25 million a year, that's, you know, that's nothing to sneeze at. I mean, I would like to think he's a smart enough guy to live the rest of his life comfortably on the money he's made in these last 6 years. I sometimes I kind of get baffled with the thinking here. I mean, I understand you want the big payoff and you feel you've earned the big payoff, but you know, it's looking with the way, especially starting pitching has changed in baseball, that, you know, these guys have got to understand that it's not there anymore. I mean, guys, you know, you can't get paid this kind of money to go out and pitch 5 or 6 innings a start. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't get it. You know, and I'm sure a lot of it is, you know, the agent, you know, saying, oh, yeah, well, we're going to get this or we're going to get that. And, you know,
I mean, from what I've heard about Arrieta, is he's very arrogant in that, you know, pitchers that are a level above him, he, you know, I can do that or I did that.
Yeah, we did for 1 year. So, mm-hmm. You know. So, but, well, all right, Dan, I guess this is considered a baseball story, but it's really kind of on the creep level. I don't know if you saw this one, but Jason Wood, who is formerly an agent with a company called Career Sports Entertainment, he was fired, and now he is allegedly under investigation for secretly filming players in the shower. And apparently one of his clients, I don't believe they named the player here. Yeah, it says he wishes to be unnamed, found a camera that belonged to Wood when he was in the shower. And apparently he confronted him and fired him. You know, the agents union has suspended him. You know, baseball has, I believe, banned him from, you know, whatever activity they have. The MLPA, the players union itself, declined comment, but this is a little weird on a creep level, isn't it?
It's super weird. I mean, you know, you can only imagine who he was selling it to.
Yeah, that's the even weirder thing. And now he represented, I mean, a lot of names we would know. You know, Cody Ashe, who's been a journeyman, but he also represents Andrew Benintendi, Jake Odorizzi, David Phelps, and then a player, the only player I'm not familiar with here is a guy by the name of Ryan Stanek. But, you know, yeah, you just wonder how long this oddity has been going on. And, yeah, well, I mean, the hell is he even doing with these tapes? So yeah, I don't get it. And, you know, it doesn't specify if, you know, maybe he's gay. I don't know. It doesn't say in the article, and it was just something he was, you know, filming for his own personal, you know, use, or however you want to look at it that way. But yeah, it just, just kind of a huge creep level there for me when I saw the article, and I was like, oh, God. So I don't know. Now, are you surprised that maybe stuff like this doesn't happen a little more?
I'm more surprised that he was able to pull it off. I mean, I don't know what kind of showers at the hotels. I would assume it's not in the locker room.
Yeah, at least you'd hope not.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but I don't even know how can get away with that. Or, you know, I don't know. I guess if you're not looking for it, if it's hidden behind a mirror or whatever.
Yeah, I guess how much, you know, depending on how much time you invest in it, you could probably find a, you know, a pretty good hiding spot for these type of things. But I don't know. It's kind of like, oh, okay, why am I, you know, I mean, you know, you've stayed in hotels before. It's probably the last thing you're looking for, right, is a camera?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
especially if you know, you're a ball player and your agent set up your room for you, or, well, that's even another thing that the team does. So,
yeah,
you know, how did he get access?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sure being an agent, you know, he's probably got, you know, almost free reign of, you know, this kind of stuff. I mean, I'm sure the players don't, you know, even really notice it much. You know, it's just one of those things. It's like, oh yeah, okay, you know, no big deal. He can, you know, he can take care of this for me. You know, and then the next thing you know, it's like, oh, wait a minute, what's going on here? We're doing what? But yeah, just like I said, it was major, you know, major kind of creep factor when I heard the story today. So it's just kind of like, oh, this sounds like something Dan would want to talk about. Oh, no. So, but now, you know, and then I don't know, did you get the chance before you hit work or when you were at work to catch any NBA highlights?
Are you referring to LaMelo and Jello highlights? Or no, you said
No. I want to know if you got to see that fight, or kind of an alleged fight. I don't even know if you call it a fight. So, they had a very odd. Serge Ibaka, who's actually your guy now, I remember very well trading him to you. Serge Ibaka and James Johnson of the Miami Heat kind of squared off last night, and it was strange. You know, they did a bunch of pushing and shoving like a lot of NBA fights do, and then they each threw like one punch, and it just stopped. You know, the ref kind of stepped in, but he really wasn't in between them. And it was just over. They just stood there and kind of talked to each other. And I was like, what the hell kind of fight is this? So it was just the most baffling fight I think I'd seen in a long time, with the exception of, you know, two guys just standing there. So, yeah, I was wondering if maybe you'd happen to catch the wonderful highlights of that. I believe the Heat did win the game, but yeah, it was just strange. You'll have to take a peek at it and see what you think one of these times when you get a chance. Cause like I said, I was like, wait, this was considered a fight. I mean, I don't even know if you'd call it a skirmish.
Would it even be a fisticuff?
Yeah. I don't even know if that qualifies. I mean, cause neither guy really landed much, you know. I mean, they were both just glancing blows, and I was kind of like, wait, this is a fight? I'm like, okay. You know, I know they even had some pushing, not the same two guys, but a couple different guys had some pushing and shoving after the game. So maybe we'll get a cool rivalry with the Heat and the Raptors. What do you think? You'll watch that?
Sure, why not? As long as it's not on NBA TV.
Will you go to Miami to get tickets to watch a Heat Raptors game then?
Only if you send me.
Well, maybe we can get your wife's work to send you and you can go that way.
No, they're going to Louisiana.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't think there's a basketball there. Oh yeah, you can go see a Pelicans game.
Yeah, I know. It actually would have worked out. It's January 20th, but the Bulls were going to be in New Orleans, actually, but we just couldn't work it out.
Oh. You know, and I did see today the Pelicans just brought back that really creepy King Cake baby mascot they had last year. I don't know if you saw that guy, or do you know what a King Cake is?
No.
Yes, it's I believe it's a New Orleans specialty cake, and it's the thing where you put like the baby in the cake or something. I don't know the whole story behind it, but yeah, I guess if you get the piece with the baby in it, you're gonna have the next baby or something like that. I don't know, but the mascot is incredibly creepy. Yeah, you know, the mascot is incredibly creepy, and the Pelicans are bringing him back life size again. So if you're going to a Pelican game, good luck with that, because that thing will freak a lot of children out, I'm sure, probably even some adults. So it's too bad you're not going. I'd like you to get a selfie with that thing for the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. That would be fantastic.
Well, I'll have a baby cake for you at Super Bowl, and then make sure you get the baby piece.
Yeah, just fill my piece up with all the babies, please. That's what I really want. So, now I did see, Dan, I got to ask you, is this going to become a concern? Apparently, Steph Curry hurt his ankle in shoot-around, and he is going to miss tonight's game. They did not give a timetable on this. If this would be a multiple game injury or anything like that. It is kind of odd because Klay Thompson was scheduled to rest tonight anyway. So I'm wondering, do you think he really got hurt, or do you think they wanted to give him the night off against the Clippers?
Give him the night off against the Clippers, but I mean. Maybe he needs, I don't know if he's going to be there or not, but maybe he needed some time to, sit down with his, any business associates while he comes up with a plan to be a part of the team. Maybe you should tweet him or Facebook him on joining the group to buy the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, yeah, you think he would join our group? We have to get some people involved. Yeah, so
he's from that area. Is interested. He is interested in purchasing them.
Yeah, we'll have to look into that. They are, if you're up late tonight, Dan, they are the 9:30 game on the Mickey Mouse Network. But, again, there's no Clay, no Steph. It's just going to be Kevin Durant. I believe Blake Griffin is also out for the Clippers. So there's very, very little star power hanging around there. Now, earlier, the 7 o'clock game, you may want to actually check this out, Dan, has the Oklahoma City Thunder at the Minnesota Timberwolves. That could be a quality game there. The Timberwolves are actually fourth in the Eastern Conference, while the Thunder are sixth. And I did see that the NBA just fined Isaiah Thomas $20,000 for clotheslining Andrew Wiggins in that Cavalier. Yeah. That Cavalier Timberwolves game. So, it was a legitimate clothesline.
I don't know what was more brutal, that or the beating that the Cavaliers took with LeBron James in the lineup.
Yeah, you.
It was like 127-99.
You gotta wonder. So. Yeah, it definitely, I know we do this every season, but, you got to wonder about the Cavaliers. I mean, luckily for them, the Timberwolves are in the West. So, they still don't have much to battle in the East, but they've really shown some signs of weakness. And you got to wonder if maybe this is the year that they don't get to the NBA Finals.
I mean, do you think the Celtics are in position to take them out?
Well, it's odd with the way they've been playing. You wonder if just possibly they slip up against an even lesser talented team because they just can't, they just can't kind of hold it.
Well, don't forget about the factor of the referee.
Yeah, a lot will depend on if the Mickey Mouse Network wants to see the Cavaliers or the Celtics in the NBA Finals. That will really be the deciding factor, and then the referees will allow that to happen one way or the other. So we'll have to see how that works out and what they decide. But, yeah, I just, you got to wonder – you know, what this team's going to have. I mean, you know, Derrick Rose is still hurt. I think Amon Shumpert is still out. You know, I mean, they got Thomas back, but you just wonder if it's, you know, if there's enough there. So we'll have to see. But how about this for a second, career, Dan? I don't know how good your memory is when it comes to former Bulls, but do you remember, I believe he was about 7 feet tall. He was a center. Do you remember Brad Miller playing a few seasons for the Bulls?
No, not at all.
Yeah, I believe, I want to say he started out with Sacramento and, you know, he kind of bounced around a little bit. He, you know, he made his way to made his way to Charlotte, and I'm trying to think how many other stops he might have had along the way. I want to see if I can bing it here real quick and get a little better career reference here on him. Yeah. Oh, here we go. Yeah, he. He started in Charlotte, then came to Chicago, spent a few years in Indiana, and then went to Sacramento, actually came back to Chicago, went to Houston, and ended his career in Minnesota in the 2011-2012 season. You know, and I know everybody listening is wondering, well, what the hell are you talking about Brad Miller for? I mean, who cares about this guy? Well, Brad Miller has actually found a second career, Dan. He's growing weed.
Is he with Mike Tyson?
I'm looking now. I have the article here. I want to see if it says that, but, no, it does not look like he is with Mike Tyson. So, but he broke ground on a company called CHC, in California City. They did this right at the start of the year, and you know, he's going to sell recreational marijuana.
Good luck to him.
So, so yeah, we shall see how that goes for you know, for Mr. Miller. It looks like let's see if they have any more information. Here you go, Dan. He will sell 38 different marijuana products, including edibles, water-soluble, THC, and vaporizer cartridges.
Well, he must have saved his money well. He able to open up a business.
Yeah, I'm definitely. Yeah, interestingly, Dan, in the 2008-2009 season, Miller himself was suspended for 5 games for testing for a banned substance that he admitted was actually marijuana. So he apparently has been interested in the product for quite some time, and now he's going to make it his business. So we shall see how it goes. But yeah, I thought that was quite, you know, I knew I recognized the name when I saw it, and I was like, you know, I think he used to play for the Bulls because they list him as like a former Charlotte Hornet. And it was just like, you know, I know it's kind of a generic name, and I know there's a baseball player with the same name. You know, I believe he plays for the Rays still. I don't think anybody's dealt him yet. And it was just kind of like, yeah, wait, I know this name. And, yeah, I looked into it, and they're like, oh, yeah, he's starting to sell weed. I was like, oh, this is kind of funny. So there you go. You're looking for a second career as an athlete. You can get into the pot business in California.
Yeah, as long as the feds stay out of it. The feds come in.
Yes. And, do we have enough money to start that business, Dan? Probably
no.
No.
No, we actually have a friend who, you know, in the 80s, you know, his dad started it, and he said it was pretty scary to have the feds come in with their choppers and then just tear everything up and leave.
Yeah, I, you know, not that I've ever purchased from them, but I do know some gentlemen who have sold the product. not in this capacity or, shall we say, legally. But, you know, it's one of those things that happen. You know, people do make their living that way. I believe you and I both know that. So, there, you know, there you go. One of those things. But, yeah, so you need weed, you go to Brad Miller in California. Maybe he'd sponsor the show. You think that would work? You should reach out to him on Twitter. See if he would sponsor Sports Time Radio brought to you by pot or, you know, Brad Miller's Weed Emporium. What would they call it? So.
Well, you know, like I said, Tyson's looking to open a ranch. I don't know.
Yeah, that was a bit of an oddity there. What did you get any like more info on that? On what? I mean, he's literally just gonna like a farm and make it like a weed farm, or?
No, I think it would be like a destination, probably. Almost like a bed and breakfast, but I don't know what you would call it. You know, but the thing that always gets me is, you know, all reports always come out that he's broke, so I don't know how he still does what he does, lives how he lives. And if he's broke, I want to be Mike Tyson broke.
Yeah, that's odd. You would think, I know he's done stuff since, you know, he lost all his boxing money, but he's had movie appearances, and wasn't there a Mike Tyson cartoon for a little while?
I don't know. He did a semi stand up thing. I think it was just funny because it's actually a true story.
He did a one man show. Right. He did a one man show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I believe was pretty successful, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long he did it. But, you know, I thought it did pretty well.
Yeah, I think my favorite highlights from that, though, are he was in Canada and, you know, somebody tried baiting him into the Robin stuff, and he just called him out, you know, you're an a-hole. That's their local television show. So it's pretty classic. You really have to know what you're going to say and how you're going to say it when you're interviewing Mike Tyson.
Yeah. So, you know, he turned out to be a bit of an interesting character after all the, you know, the oddities. I mean, he was, you know, or he should have been one of the greatest boxers of all time. I don't know if anybody considers him that, but, you know, I mean, when he was on top of his game, I mean, he was unbeatable. And, you know, then I think it was Don King got a hold of him, and that was pretty much the end of it. So,
well, Don King was a hold of him the whole time.
Well, no, remember, he was originally with, you know, D'Amato, and he trained with D'Amato as a kid. And once D'Amato died, he was kind of, you know, out there on his own, and he ended up with Don King Promotions, and yeah, that was the end of it. You know, that's just how it kind of goes there. So.
Come on.
You know, there's no real comeback from that circus. You know, I think King gets all your money, and, you know, you just kind of hang around.
I don't know if hang around is I don't know what you call it.
Yeah, I you know, didn't have really great words to describe it, so, you know.
A great deal for King. Well, I think he went to jail, didn't he, or is he still alive?
You know, I don't know if he's I think he's still alive. You know, I know he was in jail before he was a promoter. I don't know if he's, you know, if he's went back. Yeah, apparently he's 86 years old. He's still alive. So
living in the Caribbean.
You know, obviously. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think, you know, I mean, as much as, you know, Wikipedia will give you here, I don't think they tell you where he lives now. But, yeah, they do say he's still alive. So, you know, we'll see. But he does, well, no, it looks like maybe he's in South Florida, because they have a comment here that says he, every Thanksgiving, he gives away 2,000 free turkeys to needy people in South Florida. So
modern day Ebenezer Scrooge, huh?
Yeah, you know, I guess his way of giving back in a way after all that's been good for him, I guess. I was trying to be nice about it, so you know, just one of those things. You know, I did see, Dan, the NHL actually announced their all-star teams today, and Patrick Kane was the only Blackhawk to make it.
Are you surprised by that? I
thought maybe somebody else would get on there, but they're doing their three-on-three format still, which I enjoy very much, but I still think that you need to add one more goaltender. I did see your guy Steven Stamkos made the Atlantic team.
You'll be
yeah, he's still there. No surprise, Ovi is, you know, the top guy on the Metropolitan team. You know, with Sidney Crosby and John Tavares, so they probably got to be the favorite to win it. So, you know, I don't know. You look at that and you wonder how the heck they don't win every year as it is. You know, Kane is on the central team with your other guy, PK Subban. So
PK.
And then your guy Brett Burns made the Pacific team as one of the defensemen. So, but it's the 3-on-3, which I actually enjoyed when they had it the last time. Obviously, you know, it's much more wide open and there's still a lot of scoring. But it's not as bad as like the NBA All-Star game. You know, there actually is a little defense played and it's not too bad. So we'll have to see how it goes. But yeah, I was a little surprised Kane was the only guy. I thought Duncan Keith might find his way onto the roster. You know, he's still, you know, incredibly talented, but you know, the game is, 18 days away, and it's in Tampa this year. So,
well, of course, Stamkos made it. you know, go figure. Yeah, the year we skip out on the fantasy hockey. Granted, I wouldn't have drafted Stamkos again, but now he's pretty healthy, huh?
Yeah, he's been healthy all year. So, you know, just kind of how that works out. So,
yeah, two seasons in a row, I get him. He's out the whole season practically. But I, you know, kind of just not spending wasting too much time on that. But I thought it was funny when we canceled the league, we got a message and I responded to it that, you know, it just wasn't going to work out this year. And the one guy who was looking forward to it said, yeah, well, you know, I noticed there was way too many teams with the guy with Patrick Kane in the name. So he goes, maybe it was better off.
Yeah, well, you know, you get those Chicago-centric leagues, and that's what you kind of end up with. You know, and obviously our area, we're going to get people from our area and our friends, so, or people who know us or know our friends and stuff like that. But we'll see, you know, next year how it goes, as long as one of us remembers to set it up, because that can always be a problem with the NHL season, because I always forget when it starts. So,
yeah, well, as long as we don't have the draft on a Sunday at 2:00, I think we'll be.
Yeah, which I still thought was the perfect time, but you know, you're turning into Mr. Fantasy and all his friends that don't want to, you know, take my schedule into consideration when they do a draft. They had, you know, for every year for our money league, we have a playoff draft, you know, just to get a little extra. So they decided the perfect time to start this playoff draft was, I don't remember if it was Wednesday or Thursday, but they thought 7:30 would be a quality time for everybody to start this draft. So, needless to say, I just didn't even bother to participate because I would only been able to stay on for about an hour at the most. This is a league where you only need a quarterback, a running back, two wide receivers, a tight end, a kicker, and a defense at a flex position. So it should go very fast. And it limited number of teams. There weren't, you know, too many teams this year. I think they ended up with 10 or 12 and it took them 3 hours to do the draft. So
why?
It's just kind of the way these guys are, and every pick is life or death to some of these guys, and they are just incredibly poor at planning ahead. So
it's not the real NFL.
You know, like, well, you know, it's humorous because they'll, you know, they'll have a guy that they want, but then they don't have a backup guy. So if that guy gets picked, it's like, oh, okay, great. Well, now who am I going to pick? Wait, I don't have a guy to pick. And, you know, like a lot of the cases, like there are guys, especially in this playoff run, that stack teams. You know, like there was a guy who had, you know, and obviously he's not going to win. He had four guys from the Carolina Panthers. So he got one game out of them and they're gone. You know, there was a guy who was trying to stack Kansas City Chiefs but couldn't get them all. You know, like Mr. Fantasy ended up with, I think it was two Buffalo Bills. And one of them was the quarterback, so basically his season is over. You know, and then his running back was Todd Gurley, so he's done. He ain't winning any money. He didn't listen to me. I told him Tom Brady was the best pick, but since I wasn't there, he went his route, and that's fine because then he can't. At least it's not my fault this time. So, but yeah, it's weird. I mean, it's definitely something interesting to watch. So, well, you know, we'll have to see who wins, but I definitely don't think it's going to be Mr. Fantasy. So, but yeah, and then, you know, like I said, it'll be my fault, but it really won't be my fault because I didn't have anything to do with the team this year. So, maybe you can blame it on you. Can it be your fault for a change?
I'm not allowed to play.
So, yeah, neither, you know, I'm surprised. Well, I probably won't be either after I made that mistake and forgot that it was a keeper league and cut Carson Wentz after he got hurt. I may be out next year as well, so we'll have to, you know, like I said, it was just a complete brain cramp on my part. I'm not used to it being a keeper league, and I was like, he's hurt. I better pick somebody up just in case. And like, oh, whoops. I should have known when I got the phone call right away after it, though. I was like, well, go in and pick him up, you know? It's like, pay attention to what I'm doing. Be around to manage the team, unlike baseball where I had to run the thing by myself, and then he complained to me, dude, you're not here. Oh, all right. Speaking of not being here, Dan and I are going to leave. Hey, we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 to do this all again. You know what to do while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Get over there and read the new blog that went up this morning. Link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at SportsTimeRadio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well if you want to hunt us down. We're cool with that. As always, big thanks for listening live. But don't forget, the podcast is available for you anytime you want to go over there and listen to it at TuneIn.com.